Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Well, it's nice to have the rain finally out of here on this Tuesday afternoon. It's Jason Drive Time on the air. It's graduation week at the DeRusha household. Last kid graduating from high school. And that means that the next 3 months will be graduation party season. Is this peak pettiness or brilliant organization, Dan? My wife...
Do those things have to be mutually exclusive?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My wife has a spreadsheet that has everyone who was invited to Seth's graduation, the oldest, and what their gift was. So now, if we get invited, you take a little looky-loo at the old spreadsheet. See how it went.
That just seems like a marvel of efficiency to me.
It's very smart.
Right.
It's very smart.
I love it.
I like that it gives a factual check against my normal pettiness that I would have.
Sure.
We're like, well, it seems to me.
It's pettiness analytics.
Now, my parents do not need this spreadsheet. I got married... I don't know how many years ago, Dan. 27 years ago?
You ought to know how many years ago.
More than 25 years ago. And I think my parents still could quote, like, what various family members gave as a present. You got to be organized. You got to be organized. It's okay to be a little petty, too. Time for the D-Rush Hour News headlines. Let's do the lead.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the DeRush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight with.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And the lead story is the activity on Lake Street. Federal agents taking major action on East Lake Street and Bloomington Avenue, right outside Las Cuatras Milpas. The images from the scene have caused massive reaction. It's the lead story on the Star Tribune. Whenever you have federal agents right now in a time where, well, I don't know, is it on higher alert because federal agents are in front of a Mexican restaurant in a time where immigrants who are here illegally have been essentially put on notice? Maybe. Maybe that led to higher tensions. But as you heard in Susie Jones's news, the FBI, the ATF, Homeland Security, we saw the scenes where you saw a huge number of very armed federal agents. Now, I would say if you are carrying out a search warrant related to drug smuggling and money laundering, as Mayor Jacob Frey said it was about, and police also later confirmed with our newsroom that's what it was about. Yeah, the cops are going to be heavily protected. They're going to have large guns. We need to be able to not freak out and start protesting whenever federal agents are doing their jobs. And that's sad. When you have ICE on the scene, visibly marked immigration authorities, Yeah, people have good reason then to be alarmed. It's still early. The narratives are all over the place. We don't quite know what the facts are. Within the last couple of minutes, the Lake Street Council sent a note out to supporters saying we still have many unanswered questions about why these agents surrounded our community. But extreme displays of armed law enforcement are deeply concerning and triggering for many individuals. We need to keep our community safe. We need to keep our law enforcement safe. But it is a time of unease and uncertainty, and we saw that on display today. Jim Marshall has died. The headline on the New York Times, Jim Marshall, Iron Man defensive end for the Vikings, dies at 87. Anyone who admired the Purple People Eaters admired Jim Marshall, but that was just part of his story. And our friend Pete Najarian is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline to talk a little bit more about Jim. Thanks for being with us, Pete. What a sad and tragic loss.
It really is. Although you have to look at it as an incredibly long life, especially for a football player. Yeah, 87 true. Years. It's a great run. It really yeah. is. And Jim, what a wonderful guy. I was lucky enough to get to know him. I grew up watching him after we moved from California to Minnesota. We were out there where now sits the Mall of America and watching a lot of those football games at Met Stadium. And, boy, he was a special guy. You know, he was such a great athlete, he was an influencer before the times that we've got now as far as influencers. He was a guy that played the game the right way. Bud Grant absolutely loved him, which is why he was a captain for 14 years for the Vikings. But his ability to have the longevity to start all those games, you know, week after week after week and year after year, it really says a lot about who he is. And, you know, he'd been to 4 Super Bowls, all of that. But the Hall of Fame never really pulled the trigger. And I will bet you there will come a day where they will. I think that is one of those where they looked past this for too long. But great guy.
Pete,
saw him a couple of years ago.
Oh, you did. You did. I think people look at Alan Page and Carl Eller as sort of the, because they had the stats in that People Eaters time. And sacks, I think a lot of people don't realize that the NFL didn't, like, sacks wasn't a stat. It wasn't a thing until, like, the early 80s, I think.
No, you're exactly right. And you'd have to go back and go through all that film. I think with AI, that's something we'll probably do someday.
Well, I read that Pro Football Reference went back to 1960 and analyzed kind of game stats. And they estimated that if there were a stat that Jim Marshall would have had 130 sacks in his career.
That's not bad.
It would have been 22nd in NFL history. I mean, now... Eller, Carl had 133, but Marshall also had that NFL record for fumble recoveries with 29. So you think about that in that time, in that era, the physicality was different. The training was different. Just to me, it's sort of mind blowing.
Yeah. And even think about this. They didn't throw the ball as much either. Right.
Yeah,
and so the fact that when you think about that, how about those stats actually would have been even higher had they thrown at the kind of rate that we have now. I mean, it's so great football players. I got a chance to get to know him a little bit even closer when I was a high school kid. Matt Blair was a great outside linebacker for the Vikings for a long time.
Yeah.
And he put on a free for anybody in Minneapolis. We could go there for free at North High School. So we did.
Right.
And it was great. He brought in celebrity football players from all over the country, including people like Jim Marshall. And what a great opportunity. We knew it at the time, but I think looking back, we knew it, but we didn't really realize how incredible that whole experience was. We had guys from the Chargers and guys from the Jets and guys from whoever they could bring out there. Matt Blair did a great job getting them there, and it was a lot of fun. Matter of fact, just a couple of years ago, I was out to eat at J.D. Hoyt's, and who's sitting right next to me but Jim Marshall. And I introduced him to my wife and told her all about him and the stories. And, gosh, he's just a great guy. Always had a magical smile and all of those kind of things. And still involved with the Vikings to some degree. He'd go out there once in a while to watch something, but just a, you know, a great person, really, really was.
Pete Najarian, we appreciate the time today. Thanks for visiting with us.
Absolutely. Take care, Jim.
Jim Marshall's wife said that he had been hospitalized for a long time. He was 87, died right here in Minneapolis. Making news nationally right now is the bromance over. Elon Musk absolutely destroying the big, beautiful bill of Donald Trump.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful. But I don't know if it can be both.
I mean, you got to pick one. You got to pick one. And today on X, in a break with Donald Trump, Elon Musk just, he kind of was like, I just can't do it anymore. He called the bill an abomination, a disgusting abomination. It's pretty amazing, right? Because these two were absolutely in lockstep for quite a while. And then today at 12:31 p.m. our time, the Musk bomb, the tweet, this massive, outrageous, pork-filled congressional spending bill is a disgusting abomination. Shame on those who voted for it. You know you did wrong. You know it. This is very interesting. This sort of separation that we've seen of Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Musk just left the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. Republicans in the Senate are starting work just this week on trying to take a look at this House bill and work their way through this multi-trillion dollar package of tax and spending cuts. Only three Republicans can bail out. Otherwise, this thing won't pass. Now, the Trump administration was asked about this today, and they said, look, we know how Elon feels about this bill. We've heard about it. But sometimes some reality has to come into play. The Congressional Budget Office had estimated that this bill, the big, beautiful bill, could add $2.3 trillion to the deficit over a decade. Now, Republicans, including Senate Majority Leader John Thune, say that doesn't account for any economic growth that you might get as a result of the policy changes in the bill. CBO is looking at that. We'll see in the coming days what that is. But a lot of Republicans, including Wisconsin's Ron Johnson, have stood up and said, we're not into this bill. And I think I saw Amy Klobuchar tweet earlier today that finally there is something that she and Elon Musk agree on. That is the D Rush Hour news headline. Amy Klobuchar, pretty good. Like, that's a pretty good. Yeah. Finally, I wasn't making this up. Finally, something Elon and I agree on. Page two coming up in just a moment of the D Rush Hour news headlines. We'll talk about Trump, the tweeter in chief. We'll talk about Lilo and Stitch, too. How about this? The surprise hit of the summer, Lilo and Stitch coming up. All right, D Rush Hour news headlines, page two. 5:25 on this Tuesday afternoon, we get started with Donald Trump's online posting frenzy. I thought this story in The Washington Post was fascinating. 2,262 truths in 132 days. Yeah. It's a lot. There were lots of nuggets in this story that surprised me, The Washington Post. As of Sunday, Donald Trump had posted 2,262 times to True Social, more than three times the number of tweets he sent during that same period of time during his first presidency. The data portrays an influencer in chief. That's pretty good. The heightened volume, they say, is not just Trump's work alone. He has a team of aides who help him post throughout the day. So some of this is fascinating, and some of this has been documented in The Art of the Surge, which was a documentary during the campaign. So Trump will dictate, because I always wondered this, when you have someone famous, and there's no one more famous than the president of the United States, are they posting their own stuff? Does it go through someone? Trump dictates True Social post to Dan Scavino and another aide, Natalie Harp, who they like type it up and off it goes. But often Trump posts his messages himself, surprising his staff in the middle of the night and early in the morning when he is watching the news on TV. I do the same thing. There are times late at night where my staff, a.k.a. really my boss, Alyssa, is like, put the Twitter down. Don't. You're in no shape. But when I post ridiculous takes at 11 o'clock at night, so what? When Donald Trump posts ridiculous takes at 2 in the morning, then the staff has to go do it the next day. Just amazing. Lilo and Stitch, perhaps the surprise movie of the spring.
We have apprehended a dangerous experiment. Where is he?
He escaped.
He is trying to find the police cruisers.
He took the red one.
New York Times reporting on this amazing success, Lilo and Stitch. Lilo and Stitch, probably the forgotten Disney stars. My old college roommate, Brooks Barnes, with this story in the New York Times. You know, you look at the original movie, ticket sales were, got a couple direct-to-video sequels, a TV cartoon in the 2000, a sort of lame Disney World ride opened in 2004 and closed in 2018. They spent about $100 million on this. Originally, it was going to be a straight-to-streaming release. But the new/old CEO of Disney said, no, we make movies. They go in the theater. It's made $610 million worldwide after 10 days in theaters. Crazy. They're thinking it might be a billion-dollar movie. Japan is the question. Like, will they love it? But this is sort of a combination of nostalgia and brilliant marketing. The turning point, reports the Times, was a Super Bowl stunt orchestrated by Disney marketers that found Stitch breaking onto the field shortly after the coin toss, and stadium staff couldn't capture it. So that was what started it, and now it might make $1 billion. Just crazy. Nostalgia, nostalgia, nostalgia. That is the D-Rush Hour News headlines here on CCO. It's 5:30. We had two sort of digital stories for you there in the D-Rush Hour News headlines. Perfect segue into Greg Swan explaining the internet. Will we need to get our eyes scanned to prove that we are human? That and more with Greg in just a minute here on CCO.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Wow! How about that?
It's all right. We got bumper music.
You
theme.
Got your own jingle? How did this come about?
Oh, I made that with AI.
Oh, gosh. Of course. Of course. So what is the prompt you stick into AI to get your own jingle?
I said I wanted to create a Greg Swan Explains the Internet retro radio style jingle, and then it made a 14-minute song. And then I said, no, not like that. And then I had to buy more credits.
Sure.
And then I reran it approximately 35 times to get to something that was...
So what did this cost?
It was probably $20.
It's pretty cheap.
I still have 2,000 credits. So if you would like your own jingle, if WCCO Radio would like to hire me...
To use AI.
To use AI to make terrible jingles, I can do it.
Crazy.
I can do it.
Crazy. That's pretty impressive. Like when people are trying to figure out what do they want to do with AI, how can AI make my life better?
Yeah.
Think about having your own jingle for your party or something.
Sure. So I use Suno, Suno.com, and they're not sponsoring us, not yet.
Not yet.
And it's pretty straightforward. And if you pay for it, theoretically, they're covering your licensing fees. So we can use it places like on the radio or in a podcast.
Did you see this story, this report today about AI learning to escape human control? There are a number of stories like that that have been coming up, but the Wall Street Journal had an op-ed talking about this AI model sort of taking over.
I've seen a handful of stories around that idea or ones where they're blackmailing their programmers
if they're not
obeying certain things.
Which sounds like that's pretty good, like good work AI, doesn't it?
It's a little far-fetched. It triggers some of our sci-fi scaredness around AI, but there are some things that AI will probably disrupt sooner than later, and that the first one's probably your password.
Oh.
So I want to ask you, Jason, have you ever gotten one of those errors when you go to put a password down on a website and it says, oh, that password's been used in a leak?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I have.
And then what do you do? Do you go ahead and use it or do you make a new password?
It depends on the website.
Sure.
But I am still using, not as much, I've sort of phased it out. But like when I run the Google password manager check, it'll say like 293 of your passwords.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Some sort of old restaurant that you haven't used forever or something.
Mostly like I used to have a low security password and a higher security password. And I still sort of have that. But most passwords, yeah. So if I could just have AI figure it out, that'd be amazing.
Well, if you think about that, the nature of a password, like the origins of that would be in combination locks right on a safe and that sort of thing. And now with AI... that it's incredibly fallible. They're going to be able to be hacked unlike ever before.
Oh,
and in fact, with AI increasingly creating videos and content that looks real, there is a sense of if you are communicating on the internet, how will you prove that you're a real person? And that is a real challenge for us. And there's a couple solutions that are coming onto the market
now. You recently had your eyeballs scanned.
I did.
Is this going to be common for us, you think?
This could be one solution to proving that you're human, which is that you go to a place. And in this case, I was in Los Angeles, in West Hollywood, at World's flagship. It's a company called World. And I looked at an iris scanner, and they used 12,000 data points to scan my iris and then stored who I am in the blockchain in a way that I can access it and log into websites with it.
Wow. This is in Time Magazine wrote about this, calling it the identity internet, right?
Yeah. So this is the cover of Time this month. And this idea of the identity, how do you prove that you are you?
It's interesting.
And this, there's
I think about it because like I've not all of my value, but much of my value is that people trust that the content that comes from me is really from me.
Mm-hmm.
That when they see my image or hear my voice, that's me. And not very soon, probably now, you could easily recreate my voice, my image, my persona.
Absolutely. So deepfake is the word we use for that. We've talked about that in previous segments. And also, there's other companies that are innovating around this, but this specific World Orb product, they have early partners with Visa, which makes sense because that's your money.
Sure.
And the second is Match Group, which is Tinder.
Huh.
So think about the places that you want to prove you're a real person when you're dating. You're trying to find that potential partner
with a verified check in some way.
Absolutely.
There would be value to that, right? If you were single, to tell other people that I am this profile is real. I am real.
Yep. So these are in right now: Austin, Atlanta, L.A., Miami, Nashville, San Francisco. But they plan 7,500 of these orbs. They're thinking gas stations, bodegas. They're thinking these are going to be everywhere.
Huh.
I think that it's hardware that is reached. Like, we're not ready for it yet. We don't need it yet. Also, there's a lot of concern about, like, who did I actually give my eyeball scans to?
Well, right.
I've second guessed having my DNA sent away to one of those websites where they tell you your family.
Yeah.
Is this something I will second guess? Maybe. And also, I think that there will be many different solutions to us proving that we're human in the long-term future. In the short-term future, this is one. Here's one more interesting thing about the history of this company. Guess who runs it? Sam Altman, who's the CEO of OpenAI, ChatGPT.
Huh.
And there's some interesting tension there, because that guy oversees a company that is arguably breaking our perception of what's real, and also has another company that will sell you the solution.
Smart. He's a smart business guy, right? Interesting.
We will see.
The Orb Will See You Now is the story. And if you're watching us on YouTube right now on the WCCO Radio YouTube channel, you can see kind of what this orb looked like. Did you get verified, by the way?
I did it verify me the first time because I was too busy taking selfies and capturing content, and so it errored out. And then I finally settled down and looked in the iris scanner, and then I said, how many people are coming in here? It's right on Melrose Place in West Hollywood. How many people have you done a day? And they said, I said, 10? And they said, oh, way more than 10. And I said, 100? And they said, oh, no, not 100. And I said, 20? And they said, yeah, about 20 people. 20 people a day doesn't seem like that much. They've scanned about 1 million people globally. And again, I'm not sure that this is the solution. Microsoft's working on something with Entra and LinkedIn. There's something called the Humanity Protocol. There are people way smarter than you and I who are working out how we're going to prove we are who we are, other than a social security card that's a piece of paper, an ID that maybe has a star so you can fly, and a facial recognition program that in the future could easily be hacked.
Huh. And you think about, like, I don't know, you and I probably sign so many contracts now with a goofy looking rendition of our signature. Mm-hmm. To have another layer of understanding that I am really dealing with who I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Man, who would have thought this would be such an important thing?
And I think that there's
it
could be. There's a scary element to this of, like, well, what if, you know, who owns my data? Can I get it back? What if it's misused? And then now not only can I not prove I'm human, but someone else can prove they're me. Also, you could say that about lots of technology. We literally see that with credit reports.
True.
People registering credit cards under other people's names. This is not a new problem. This is a new solution to an old problem.
And then you wonder sort of how this ties into digital currency. I mean, if we move, and certainly some of our listeners are already in the Bitcoin digital currency sort of space, but if that becomes more widespread, then having some sort of identity verification becomes even more significant, I would think.
Absolutely. So for those users who have an Apple phone, you're used to using your face to unlock it.
Yep.
This has an app that scans my face. It then syncs it with my scan on the blockchain, verifies that it's real, and then I could use that for many things, including monetary transactions.
Pretty cool. Interesting. Good stuff. All right. Stand by, because in just a minute, we're going to talk about Mr. Beast. There's a certain age group that I think knows everything about Mr. Beast. And there is another age group that I think is still sort of like in the dark. You guys have no idea how big Mr. Beast is. He's on YouTube. We have a few fewer subscribers than Mr. Beast on the WCCO Radio YouTube account. Today is your day to fix it. Go to YouTube, type in WCCO Radio, click subscribe, and then we're well on the way to being the next. Well, we're not well on the way. Then we're on the way towards something. Mr. Beast, we'll talk about him when we come back on Greg Swan Explains the Internet, and maybe we'll hear the song one more time, too. Man, beautiful.
Wow.
I think this is really going to catch on.
I think it could be the next thing. I'm going to retire. Make radio jingles.
Maybe Mr. Beast needs a jingle.
A lot of people don't know who Mr. Beast is. You heard kids talk about him. But I want to start with, when you were a young person, Jason, who were the celebrities, who were the influencers in your life that you cared about?
For me, I was a big game show guy. Mm-hmm. So, like, if none of these guys ever did any sort of ads, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So, yeah. Like, I mean, I love The Price is Right. I love, mm-hmm. like, Peter Tamarkin on Press Your Luck was, like, the edgy game show host. Mm-hmm. Sports hero. I mean, I grew up in Chicago, so Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
Michael Jordan was probably the biggest influence.
That's a good one. Bo Jackson would be one, yep. who dipped into advertising and influence, maybe. I think about Mr. T lunchboxes or WWF.
I had some stars, Mr. T stuff,
right?
Yeah, Hulk Hogan.
And so what's different about the celebrities and influencers of our generation back then is that you couldn't go directly follow them and they couldn't publish content and go straight to you. It mm-hmm. had to go through someone else.
Right.
And so this YouTube phenomenon that has been growing and growing and growing, and actually for years now we've said, if you ask a kid what they want to be when they grow up, they don't say astronaut. They say, I want to be a YouTuber.
YouTuber.
So yep. Who's one of the biggest YouTubers in the world? It's Mr. Beast. And this Monday, he hit 400 million subscribers, which means, of course, he's way more famous than Tom Cruise. More famous than maybe even Beyonce for a certain generation. But he's not just making videos. He is selling candy bars called Feastables. He has a new deal with our local hometown Jack Links doing meat sticks.
Ah.
He has a massive show on Amazon Prime. And, you know, some of his games, some of his videos, so he redid a Squid Games video. It had 100 million views on it within just a few days. And for context, Super Bowl 2023 had 113 million viewers. So he's pulling, in one video, he's pulling more viewers than the Super Bowl.
It's crazy. What is it about Mr. Beast, you think, that, because there are so many content creators, but he did things differently.
He did. The video that really broke him out was him counting to 100,000 one at a time. And since then, he has videos like 7 days stranded in a cave, I Survived the 5 Deadliest Places on Earth. He does a lot of game show adjacent challenges that are accessible. And also, we really study him from an advertising perspective because he famously will make the thumbnail of the video before he'll make the video. He wants to test out what's the quick get thing before he makes the content to be shared.
It's pretty amazing. You're like, counting to 100,000 is... And if you're watching us right now, I'm streaming the video for you. But this was 8 years ago.
That was 8 years ago. And he's been grinding since. He famously doesn't have a lot of money because he's putting it back into his company. He had to ask his mom for a loan to get married. And also, there's some complicated stuff here. Like, there's been some controversies about workplace conduct and how he treats some of these game show folks. And folks right. on his team have made some mistakes. To be clear,
well, he's only 27. Like, you have to give him a little bit of grace, right?
So, and he has done things where he paid for like 1,000 people's cataract surgeries.
Yeah.
Just some really cool stuff if you're going to wield that kind of fame. But if you've had any kids in your life, anyone under the age of 15, they've probably asked for a Mr. Beast Feastables candy bar.
Yep.
And like, oh, yeah. I don't think Snickers saw him coming.
It's crazy. Will we see more of this, or is he a singular talent?
He has trained an entire generation of creators that YouTube is a place that you can create content and that you can earn attention. And he's someone to keep an eye on, whether you like him or hate him. He's changed the game for content creation.
So interesting. His business last year made $500 million or so?
Just a few.
Not bad. Not bad. All right, what else are you watching? Anything you're watching in the coming months, summertime?
I'm watching the Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tampa the Twins. Why don't we take the Tampa the Twins?
We should, yeah.
What a great idea. All right, Greg is going to get $20 from us for walking us into doing the Tampa the Twins because I totally forgot. The Tampa the Twins right now after last night is looking pretty good. We were on lukewarm yesterday, but the Chef IQ Sense remote thermometer hooked up to my iPhone, and I have one hooked up right in the Twins. And that's a nice win last night. Dan, do you know the score of last night's game? Do you remember?
10-4.
10-4. They play again at 9 tonight.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.